thank you everyone for making time to take this call as most of us approach the festive season. I hope you all received my note, and apologies again that was relatively late. Just something that gives everyone an idea of what we wanted to discuss. As you would have seen from the Secretariat, we've sent through schedule for calls over the next 3 months or so, and I'm hoping that that's the sort of time frame that we can start getting very active in this group. Again, apologies that there hasn't been a lot going on. Partly that's on me, and also because we need to confirm the arrangements that we have with UNESCO and get them tasked with their work. As I mentioned in my message, and I hope everyone's received it, and please stop me if you haven't, we'd sent out an idea of what we wanted as a typology for this group and what we wanted UNESCO to help us do, and we'd received something back many months ago now from UNESCO with some comments back. What I wanted to discuss on this call was an update of how we're going with UNESCO, and Bart will just fill us in on the administrative details, hopefully, just the administrative details and when we're going to speak to them and when we will engage them on their work, but also to then talk about where we go from there with the typology. I see this largely as the main product of our work, the big document that we need to that will generate the output of this group. It will all come from what UNESCO delivers, and therefore, as I mentioned in my email, if we don't task them in a very specific way, then we run the risk of not getting a very good answer back. I'm sorry, we've had somebody else join.
Hi, it's Marcus from Azalea.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, could you repeat? Because I didn't catch that name. Sorry.
Okay. It's Martin Simon.
Okay, hi, Martin. Yes, got your name. Thank you.
Okay.
So what I didn't want to do was gallop along with this call and just say, look, this is the next step that we want to take. Rather, just to go back and say, I hope everyone has seen the background materials that I've recirculated. We sent out a straw man proposal for a topology. That represents the second stage of the study group's work. The first stage was a summary of all of the policies that ICANN had implemented, all the processes that that had happened, some of which I think the sorry, I've just lost my computer again. Sorry, everyone. There it goes. Look, so the first stage of our work was, of course, covering off all of the policies, processes that have gone past before, and how country and territory names have been involved as part of that. And I'm relatively happy with where we've gotten to that point. But the next stage is tasking UNESCO with undertaking a topology, developing one that will help us all with the next stage of our deliberations, and that's something that's been on the drawing board for a couple of months, hadn't made a lot of progress yet, and I think the main job for this group is to is to work out exactly what we want UNESCO to deliver. But if you were there, you'd had some discussions and we talked about when we're going to speak to them next and about what. Could you just share the dates that we're looking at and the next steps that we want to take with them?
Yes. Now, unfortunately, say Imgada is on holidays as of today. Otherwise, she would have joined the call. We just had a brief idea of that they can start filling in the details of the typology that as soon as we are ready as a group to ask them to do so. It will take them about 3 to 6 months to complete it. Say in the meantime, the working group can progress. And say we had envisioned to do so by the Costa Rica meeting, that the working group itself have a clear understanding and they adopted the typology. And Imgada will be on the calls in January and February. That's been confirmed.
I have a question.
Yep.
Grigory.
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, I have a question. Grigory Sagan, Armenia.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you, what kind of credential has this intersectional working group on languages of UNESCO? Are they need any clarification from UN staff, or it's enough for ICANN study group?
It's in the sense let me put it this way. The UNESCO has other avenues to say expertise than ICANN has, or that the members of the working group has.
No. I mean, if UNESCO working group will decide that it is the last version and it's excellent, does they need to obtain some clarification from UN staff or?
It's not in the sense of, say, sorry for misunderstanding your question, that we discussed it, I think, on the previous call when Imgada explained the different processes they can go through. This will not be a full-blown official UNESCO query. It will be rather informal, and we're using that channel. So
okay,
it will
thank
come
you.
To, and it will not be through the member state, in the sense that the member states have to adopt or agree. Does that answer your question?
Yes, but maybe there will be such a problem on the next stage.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand. Maybe their...
Okay, their decision. Is it okay for ICANN to have only their decision, and that's it?
No, and I think we need to be careful here in terms of the arrangements that ICANN has with UNESCO, the agreements through which we've asked them to undertake this work, and to the extent so far that they provide it only as an expert opinion, not as an official position. That is why I'm at such great pains to ask this group to dedicate as much time and effort as possible to tasking UNESCO with what we're asking them for, because it really is, for the most part, up to us to ensure that the scope of their work is something that we're happy with.
Okay.
It's not a UNESCO official position. That's what's been made clear. We're just utilising their resources, their skills, and the contacts that they have to be able to provide us with a field of information that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach, despite the range of skills and the contacts and the opportunities that people within this group have.
Okay, thank you.
So, I'm sorry, Gabby, I missed whether Heather Forrest had managed to join us on this call.
Yes, she's here.
I'm on the call, Paul. I'm here.
Okay, Heather, excellent. Thank you. I've just got your message, Heather, and sorry that everyone else hasn't seen that yet.
No, it's my fault for replying to you so late. I'm sorry.
Not at all. It's specifically what I'm trying to get at, that we are now at the point of trying to refine what we have asked ICANN, what we've asked UNESCO, and as I attached in this Ormand topology that Bart had provided a number of months ago, the way in which all of us could help fill some of the fields, think about all of the different types of representations of country and territory names that we would like them to look at. Shortly after that, Heather got back to us to Bart, and I also received materials about her thoughts and some questions about how we would like to expand our thinking, how we would like what other things we might like UNESCO to look at, And I don't know, Heather, whether you can recall, I'm sorry if I put you on the spot at all, but you'd raised a few questions, you'd look through it, you'd look through the topology and asked about, look, do we need to look at official languages or other than official languages or other representations, etc., things that were outside of ISO 3166-1. Did you recall any of those comments that you'd provided through, and were there any thoughts you wanted to share on that?
I think it generally, let's say, I think what Bart has developed for NL is very helpful. It's the jumping off point, I think. When one thinks about the different manifestations of country and territory names, I think we probably, this is our opportunity to think outside the box. If part of our ambit is to gain an understanding as best we can for going forward, then I think we need to think as much expansively as we can to capture any possibilities, and particularly where these might create challenges, so to speak, where there may be conflict. So in terms of, I wouldn't like to see us limit our thinking to, for example, the official name as articulated in 3166. There are colloquial names. There are, there's a fairly long list of possibilities, let's say. I'm more than happy for you to circulate what I've prepared, and perhaps that will help others to think of similar sorts of things.
Thanks, Heather. And I apologise that the rest of the participants on this call haven't had the opportunity to see it, but it wasn't something I was going to share without Heather's permission. And that is questions about how we may want to expand the scope of the topology. It's not an area that I claim any particular expertise in, but as I mentioned before, the official names of countries in all official languages or other languages, it's historical names, and what are the clear definitions of that, and one of the sensitive topics that I mentioned in my email, how we approach the issue of the definition of country and territory. I well appreciate that that's a sensitive area for anyone within ICANN or anyone who's been involved in any of the policy processes involving country and territory names to date to approach, but it's one of the luxuries we have being a study group rather than a working group or a dedicated policy development process that has to arrive at an answer. We can ask the hard questions without necessarily having to provide all of the answers. And what I really wanted to try and raise on this call, see if anyone had any comments, and if not, I'll circulate Heather's materials as well as a few questions that and comments that I had about how we can expand upon what UNESCO had come back to us with and to settle down the scope of the work that we wanted from them by sort of mid to late January. Because, as Bart mentioned, we will speak to them. MGATA's on holidays at the moment, but just before our next teleconference call, we will speak to them. We'll try and get that work scoped and locked in. So I'm sort of hoping that by about the 20th of January or thereabouts, allowing for everybody's holiday commitments, that we could get some feedback and some agreement as to what the scope of their work would look like. Was there anyone that had any questions or comments on where we're trying to get at with this next piece of work?
Paul, this is Heather. I do have a question.
Sure.
Is it within the scope, to the extent that we as a working group are advising on future policy relating to country and territory names, I don't recall that it's precisely articulated this way in our ambit, but are we in a position to draft a definition of country and territory names?
In short, no.
Yeah.
It is within our ambit to raise that question.
To point out that there isn't currently a definition and that this ought to be sorted out. Because it puts our working group in a bit of an awkward position. Our very title has to do with a term that is undefined.
I agree 100%, and there's probably quite a lot of people on this call nodding their heads profusely at this stage. But and Bart, you can stop me at any stage. But undertaking that sort of work is potentially lethal, a very dangerous space for us to get into. But it is an issue that it wouldn't be inappropriate for the group to raise. Again, I sort of lean back on the. We can ask the questions but need not provide the answers defence. And that is, we may need to make some sort of definition and a shared understanding of what we mean by those terms for the purposes of this study group, but we need to be very cautious as we work around that. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely.
Even if the outcome of the study group is to say that the ambiguity that surrounded the treatment of and the definition of country and territory names within disparate ICANN processes over the course of the last decade has been a point of confusion and that there needs to be some better refinement or, well, even that's a difficult recommendation, but some sort of... identification of that as an issue would be an adequate outcome of the group, possibly. But it's not within our ambit to make that definition.
Yeah.
Is that in agreement with what you understand, Bart?
Yes.
We can't do that.
No, it's going back to, say, before you were chair, say, on the first one or two meetings, we had a discussion on... does this study group need to address what is a GTLD or what is a CCTLD? I would say that's in the same, almost in the same area. As soon as you start defining, say, what is a country and territory in the context of ICANN, you're almost down the path of that definition. And this study group is too lightweight in that sense to do it because it has quite some ramifications.
And I'm entirely comfortable to at least try to commence drafting materials that say we realise that we're hamstrung or bound by the fact that we are a study group with that those very terms in our name, but we're not in a position to actually define them. And
understood.
That in and of itself leads to part of the problem.
Surely it's not controversial given that the first exercise that we've undertaken is a survey of existing policy, as you pointed out, and the existing policy does really nothing to help us in this regard. So surely that can't be. I mean, I understand that it's fraught with attempting to answer the question, but raising the question is a truly a natural outcome of the first thing, the first task that we've been given. So,
and I'm entirely comfortable, and will be happy to discuss that with other group members. That raising the question is precisely the point of our existence. That to raise the matter of the ambiguity, to raise the fact that there may or may not be a consistency with how we use the terms, we being ICANN and the policy processes under it collectively, that we don't have a clear definition, and that may well be point one. That may be our first point of difficulty. And I don't want to get too far away from where we're trying to get with our work, but I think what UNESCO may be able to help us do, because of their expertise, not as an official body, is to help illustrate the very many different examples of how there have been or could possibly be inconsistencies as a result of the development or the implementation of ICANN policy today. Now, were there, at the risk of having lost everyone, were there any other questions at this point in time? I'm conscious of monopolising the discussion.
Paul, this is Annabeth.
Please.
In
the paper. We talked last time about what UNESCO should do. They suggested to make a start with 20 countries from different regions.
That's right.
Yeah. Is that idea still on? And if so, which countries and who is to decide which countries to choose?
I appreciate that. A sensitive issue, and I think they said at least 20, and that offer was made in good faith, just based upon, and it wasn't a random number, but it was something based upon, and again, Bart, correct me if I'm wrong, Umgada's best guess of what would be achievable within a reasonable time frame. There
mm-hmm.
could be a consultation with a broader membership over a longer time frame, but I believe that she was referring to tending towards countries and certain economies that they knew that they could get useful information back from. This is not trying to be exclusive. The process wasn't trying to limit limit the membership that would respond, but trying to get a meaningful and a useful and a timely response. And so her suggestion was somewhere around 20 countries. We had hoped by the time we'd scheduled this call that we could have had a preliminary discussion with them, but as Bart mentioned, that's not been possible, and it'll only happen just before our next teleconference. But Bart, is that your understanding? It was just a suggestion, and that's all it's been at this stage.
Yes.
And I'm not aware of any further.
I think it's a really
good
suggestion, actually, and it's a very good starting point to get a kind of an illustration of what we are planning to do.
Yes, Annabeth, this is Bart. It is more about an illustration than having, say, a complete overview. It's this trade-off between effectiveness and efficiency.
Yes, I see that, and I think it's a good idea, and also because it's much easier to see after doing that exercise to illustrate for other countries what we are after.
And that could say, and so whatever comes out of it, but it provides some handsome, it grounds the work of the study group in real life examples.
Yes, I agree.
I noticed Martin has his hand up. Martin?
Yeah, thanks, Bob. Yes, I did have my hand up. I've got a question about the scripts and the languages that are not included in the UNESCO scope. And I wonder how we're going to deal with United Kingdom in Urdu, where it will come in with a different script, or in a different language, Afrikaans perhaps, because there is a real risk that we might actually just focus on the ones that are the easiest to identify. And I recognise that if you start throwing this open to all scripts and all languages, you end up with a ridiculously long list. So really my underlying question is, what do we do about those? Do we just ignore the fact that the United Kingdom and Urdu wouldn't be on a list? And therefore it is possible that somebody might actually apply for that, and we wouldn't then have any way of challenging the fact that somebody is setting themselves up to make it look as if they were the United Kingdom over a large proportion of the world's population.
Martin, if I can have a go at that in the first instance, this is precisely, you've touched on precisely the point that I'm trying to drive home for the purposes of this call, that is exactly what we need to address. That's what we need to consider in the scope of what we are asking UNESCO to do. It is not a, it hasn't been a prescriptive response. It's been a consultative process with them, and we will continue. We'll have another discussion with them, and then try to get as much feedback as possible about what they will do for us. It is not limited. We shouldn't try to. We shouldn't assume. We're trying to balance what we can do in a feasible amount of time with something that will be as expansive as possible. I agree that if we had 2 years, we could go away and cover all representations in all scripts and all languages of all variations of all country and territory codes by whatever definition you may wish to take. We can't reasonably do that. We can't expect this group to cover that in well, probably not even 2 years, let alone one. But we need to provide a reasonable sample size, a reasonable cross-section. That's exactly what Bart and Annabet were just discussing a moment ago. It's not limited, and we need the input of members to come back to the group and point out the different types of representations that they believe are important to raise as part of the topology. What the discussion I want to have with UNESCO at the end of January is more a pragmatic one, it's a practical one about the exercise of what can they do and what can they deliver within a reasonable period of time. And I would much rather throw a whole bunch of ideas at them than not be clear about what this group would like them to do. As it currently stands, we have the initial straw man proposal that went to them and the response that they've come back with. But we're not limited to anything within either of those two documents, but rather the group having a reasonable grasp of what we can do within the time frame and try to get a reasonable response back from UNESCO on a good cross-section of topics. So does that make sense? Like we're not... If everything you've raised, yes, absolutely, that could well be within the scope of the topology, but it's going to be balanced up against what we can and can't do within a reasonable time frame.
I think that's certainly, I understood all of that. I guess where I was getting to and why I raised the issue is that I feel a little bit uneasy without the without actually having a proper definition up front. And the second thing is just it becomes very quickly an enormous numbers game. And so I was actually wondering whether let's go through the UNESCO work and see. Where that leads us to, but actually also recognise that it would be impossible to compile, very, very slow and very complicated to compile a complete list of every country and territory against every language and every script, in which case, it's perhaps an easier option or perhaps a useful backstop option to be able to have an appeals process which would then have to be sort of shown that that is the name of our country as shown on the nameplate outside our embassy in that particular country.
Yeah, I completely understand what you're saying there, Martin. Firstly, the issue of a proper definition is one that I'm still wrestling with and that I think the group may collectively need to wrestle with and may accept that it is not our place. However many intergovernmental organisations there are globally that have tried to define what is and what is not a country or territory, and if we were to go into that space, we would be trying to answer a question for ICANN that it has been dealing with for the last decade. So it's problematic, and that's one that we probably need to put aside for the time being. But when it comes to the work that we're asking UNESCO to do, it's about getting a truly representative field of types of categories that we can ask them to get feedback on. It is never going to be a comprehensive body of work. We cannot cover, and it will not be something that anyone within our ICANN or outside will rely upon as being a guide as to what is and is not a representation of a country or a territory code. It is simply meant to be a table that we can look at and say, here are the problems that we've looked at the policy processes that have been already. Here is some evidence from UNESCO of the different ways that country and territory names are represented, and we as a study group will only be able to take that next step once we see what they come back with, but I would hope that it would help illuminate our thinking and show us that, there are indeed a lot of problems with the way current and previous policy processes have treated these names. There may be inconsistencies, but thrown out some examples probably most recently at our Dakar meeting, examples that haven't been captured that have been omitted. It doesn't need to be comprehensive, and it's not going to be a table or a guide or an absolute template for how anyone would have to deal with those names in the future. But we just want it to be as broad as possible, acknowledging that it will not go beyond a certain number of countries.
I have a question.
And I'm also acknowledging that, yes, that's still a discussion that we have to have with UNESCO, how those are selected. Who will be the 20-something participants?
Paul? It's Amit again.
I have a question. Grigoris again.
Sorry, who? I didn't catch the names, but one after the other, please.
Hello?
Okay, this is Annabeth. It was one more there. I can wait.
Okay.
Sorry, the other person there, Annabeth, please.
Okay.
So, me first? Okay.
Okay, all yours, Annabeth, sorry.
All right. I think it doesn't matter so much which 20 countries we use, because it's an illustration. But in my mind, it's more like a study group. It's a starting point for wanting to catch the interest of our concern, and to show that it is a reason why we started this. And then afterwards, perhaps it might be possible to have a real working group working more thoroughly.
I couldn't agree more. It's Paul here again. That's precisely what I'm trying to convey, that it is actually our responsibility, we have the opportunity to be a little out there, a little dangerous in terms of the issues we raise. It's not for us to have to answer all of the concerns. It would be an appropriate outcome for the study group come back and say there actually are a great deal of there is actually a great deal of inconsistency in the way policies have been applied before, by accident, not by construction, or that there's possibilities for certain representations of country and territory names that we hadn't foreseen or ICANN hadn't foreseen. It's for us to raise those issues. So I completely agree that it's not for us to be limited, and that the work that UNESCO comes back with should just be illustrative.
Paul, may I add to this?
Please do.
Two examples. Say, unfortunately, this is for examples for those of you who have been dealing with some of the CCNSO working and study groups. That we have said this is called the study group precisely to have to make it a bit more loosely and just identifying issues. So a good example of why we chose, or the CCNSO Council chose this model was, the wildcarding study group. What it did is identify issues and come up with very broad brush recommendations just to move the process forward. So that's one example. So that's the wildcarding A second example, I would say, was, although that was far more stricter, was the delegation and redelegation working group. That working group identified issues based on say, a very extensive analysis of what was going on, and then went back to the council and recommended the creation of the framework of interpretation to start resolving, and recommended the initiation and launching of a PDP. So it's between very loose and lightweight recommendations, and even recommending the PDP if necessary. That is how the outcome and output of this working group was envisioned, based on an analysis of the issues or analysis of the overview typology and identifying issues and a recommendation of direction how to resolve them, and not coming up with a resolution per se. Does that clarify your question, Annabeth?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, it does. It's my opinion as well.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to ask my question, Grigoris, again.
Yeah,
please do.
Okay. I think it's a simple question. What kind of is it possible to have any recommendation which will be acceptable by all countries in general?
Well, I'd have to take a step. Well, I have to break that question down into parts. But in terms of recommendations, it's not likely that this study group would come up with such strong recommendations that would need to be. It's within our mandate to raise a range of issues with the CCNSO Council. We may make some recommendations regarding further work. As Bart has outlined, it may head towards a working group process. It may head towards a PDP. That would probably be the strength of our, the extent of our recommendations. It wouldn't be, it's not within the mandate of this work, of this study group, to make solid recommendations about how country and territory names are treated in the future across ICANN. It may only be a recommendation of ours that the issue needs to be looked at in greater depth, and this is where we recommend that that next step of work go. So I hope that answers your question, but it's not something that, you know, this group will not come out and say this is a country, this is a territory, this is the definitions that we believe that ICANN should apply, and that's what we believe. It's rather for us to gather evidence, to do the academic, largely academic work, and then present that, and then maybe make recommendations about future work. Is that relatively clear, or...?
No, for me it's not, because if we say that it is not a recommendation which will be accepted by all countries, we must decide which is a percentage of countries who cannot accept these recommendations. Okay, if 5% of countries will not accept, okay. Study group, yes. Okay, it's necessary to, I think it will be better to have some kind of percentage, let us say 5% of countries, if they will not accept our recommendations, it's okay for working group.
Absolutely, and I completely agree that as a study group and as a cross-constituency study group within ICANN, our processes will be subject to public commentary, to feedback from the community on at least two occasions. That's what I'm hoping for as part of the schedule that I outlined in Dakar, so that there will be that opportunity for community feedback. The group would not plow on towards some sort of recommendation without the acknowledgement that certain recommendations may or may not be contentious. But as with all ICANN processes, there will be that opportunity for feedback, and that will be factored in as part of our final comments. Just to go back to what I said before, the responsibility of this group is to provide a final report to the CCNSO Council, because it was the CCNSO Council that convened the group, although it is multi-stakeholder, and that report may contain no recommendations whatsoever. It may just be an observational report. I don't expect that will be the case, but all of it will be subject to public commentary, and depending upon inputs, as those that you flagged that may or may not be contentious, that will certainly be factored into what the group comes back with. So we will have to see what the public comment period provides us back with.
Okay. So it's possible to be flexible?
Absolutely. We're a study group. we can almost do what we want.
Okay. Also, one recommendation, not question. Is it possible to send more messages in mailing list? Because it's easier to read and think on these questions, but not speak immediately during conference.
I agree.
More materials in the mailing list, yes. It will be easier for me to work at the time when it will be more convenient for me.
Yes, I agree, and I apologize to the collective because it was my responsibility that these materials arrived just before this teleconference call. The main reason I wanted to convene it was so that we could have this discussion about issues, so that we can clarify that what we all need to do together next is go back and look at those couple of attachments that I provided in the email. We've got some feedback from UNESCO, that we've got some comments from Heather, which I will, now that I've got her permission, will share with the group. So that will actually quite illuminate everybody's thinking, and I'll set a deadline for somewhere around about the 20th of January, and I apologise for the time of year that we're doing this, to receive some comments back, because I will have a teleconference with UNESCO just to preliminarily scope their engagement and share that with the group on our next teleconference. So yes, absolutely, I'll send something around from in addition to the materials within the next 24 hours. That will outline my thinking, and we can all, the purpose of this call was to just basically say this is where we're at and this is the comment that we would like to receive. We need to think about what we are asking UNESCO to do, and I imagine we'll aim for about 20th of January. So yes, absolutely, I'll follow that procedure from here on out.
Paul, this is Bart. Maybe share the PowerPoint. I can do that as well. Share the PowerPoint with the schedule, etc., and the purpose as well.
Bart, I'm going to be sending an email to the entire group tomorrow, so I'm quite happy to include that as part of it. For those that either weren't present or weren't able to participate remotely, I put up a PowerPoint presentation that shared the study group's activities to date, what we foresaw as a rough working schedule, basically grouped around the three meetings of next year, and where we're looking to get at, and that is mainly once we get to Costa Rica to actually have UNESCO undertaking their work by that stage. If we can get them going earlier, excellent, but I'll share that with the group as well. Were there any other questions or comments or issues to be raised at this stage? Excellent. In absence of that, I will send you all a message through tomorrow that will cover through what we've discussed to date, what my expectations or my hopes are over the course of the next month, which was basically for the group to put our collective heads together, make some comments. I'll share Heather's thoughts that she's already shared about how we might wish to expand the topology. I'll expand upon that again in my email, exactly what we're looking for, and hopefully we can share a bit of a discussion, and would encourage everyone in the group to share their comments amongst the whole mailing list, not individually, and that way we can have something ready will speak to UNESCO. I'll speak to UNESCO just in advance of our next teleconference, and then hopefully we'll have quite a bit to report on about the 26th of January, I believe, was it?
Yes, I think it is.
26th.
Great choice of day, Paul. Well done, dear.
I didn't do that. That was Bart. You know that.
Thanks, Bart.
That's our national holiday for anyone that in Australia.
Just to make sure you're available.
Thank you. Look, thank you, everyone. Thank you for your time. We've just about hit the hour mark. I had hoped initially that we'd be able to share a little bit more information if we'd had a discussion with UNESCO at this point. We haven't. Hopefully I'll focus what we want over the next month or so in my email tomorrow. But otherwise, I wish you all the best for the festive season for those of you who celebrate it. And if not, we'll see you in January.
Okay.
Thanks everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.